Gresham for JR tonight here on the Infinity Sports Network, heading into a holiday weekend. I can't help it but laugh at Dallas Cowboy fans. I mean, this really is. You talk about something that truly is indefensible. I mean, really, indefensible. The trading of Micah Parsons from a football sense makes none whatsoever. And we'll get to some of the old bunk that Jerry Jones was rolling out there. But I've now gotten to the point to where I don't feel sorry for Cowboy fans, because you made the choice and you've loved Jerry and all that stuff. I mean, you haven't voted by not showing up yet, so I assume that a lot of fans are just either accepting of what it is and realizing they're going to be ridiculed and made fun of, or, I don't know, maybe there have been some people, some younger fans who have not seen Jerry win, who are maybe getting fed up with the guy. But there are some fan bases that you just don't feel sorry for. And for me, the Dallas Cowboys are one of those. Like, this egomaniac. I mean, let's be real on what is really going on here with Jerry Jones. This guy thinks he's the star. And, you know, when the when he decided to go around the agent of Micah Parsons and say that they had a deal done and all that stuff, man, I'll tell you, that was just dirty pool. And to do it to your best player. Like, if you're a Cowboy fan, in all seriousness, because most people in my position would say, oh, Cowboy fans, how you feeling? Blah, blah, blah. I don't want to hear from you. And I'll tell you why. Because there's nothing, unless you want to free the beast verbally and let it out at 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476, there's no defending this. There's no justifying this. What this has come down to is that Jerry Jones has the biggest ego in sports. And I used to think it was the celebrity coach, Coach Prime. But even Jerry Jones is now proving that he has the biggest ego in sports, even passing Deion Sanders, with the way this guy is running his football team. The owner, see, Jerry Jones last week got real cute with Stephen A. Smith and talking about, well, there's the owner of the Dallas Cowboys, and then you're talking to the general manager of the Dallas Cowboys. Well, which part of Jerry Jones's brain decided to do this? The guy who is a business Hall of Famer and wants to be known as a football guy. It doesn't care if he dies with $20 billion. He wants all of us to think he was a football guy. So was it the egotistical owner that took over Jerry? Or was it the alleged shrewd general manager you tried to paint yourself out to be to trade this guy for a flipping steal? I don't care if there is a defensive tackle and two first-round picks. Not enough. Not enough. This is Micah Parsons. This is a Defensive Player of the Year candidate. This is a guy who completely changes Jeff Hafley's defense in Green Bay. And, you know, Jerry, I know we've got the whole, you know, Jerry Jones press conference broken down, but the, you know, the whole, well, we need to get better at stopping the run. So trading away a guy like Micah Parsons instead of figuring out how to use him differently because you allegedly want to stop the run is why you moved on from this guy. let's hear from the biggest ego in sports, Jerry Jones, on why trade Micah Parsons.
We did think it was in the best interest of our organization, not only the future, but right now, this season as well. We've gained a Pro Bowl player. We've gained a Pro Bowl player in an area that we had big concern in, or concerns in, on the inside of our defense.
I mean, that is... Have you ever heard, put your boots on, you're about to walk through some... That, you know what, I have my slides on right now, and I wish I had boots on, because that was a load of crap. To sell it in any way, shape, or form, that the... You got to remember, Green Bay, let's say Green Bay isn't great, but they're good. If they go to a divisional round these next 2 years, you're looking at picks somewhere between probably 26 and 32, or 24 and 32. Two of those and an alleged Pro Bowl player for what is regarded as the best defensive player in the NFL. Now, I did not see anything, and maybe I'm late to the party, and Ryan in New York might be able to straighten me out if I missed it, but I think this was a little bit of a Luka Doncic deal, where it was quiet negotiations or whatever. You know, it got on my radar when Micah Parsons was at the airport going somewhere. My thought was, oh, they've hit a stalemate. This is bad. He's going to get it checked out again. Maybe that was the holdup. I never thought that Jerry would really trade him, because it don't make no sense, unless Jerry started to take it personally, and he said that that is not the case.
Like Micah, I appreciate the years, 4 years that we've had him here. And he's a great player. And so we are very appreciative of the fact that he's a great player. There's no question that I could have signed him in April. And so we all know that to have agreements, all parties have to agree. This was by design. I did make Mike an offer. It wasn't acceptable, and I honor the fact that it wasn't done in the way that he wanted to do it, through an agent. He was made an offer. There's not an ounce of vindictiveness. There's no bad feelings on my part about the fact that we didn't come together on an agreement.
Yeah, Jerry, because you could have got it done before all these deals were getting done, and you could have had the player at the lowest possible rate, even though it would have been a healthy salary. And yes, it's nothing personal, because it's all about Jerry's ego. This makes Jerry feel good. Again, there's the owner, Jerry Jones. There's the GM, Jerry Jones. I think the ego of the owner of Jerry Jones made the GM, Jerry Jones, make this awful trade. Oh, I got to hear this. Let's go Jerry Jones 6. Compares the Micah deal to the Herschel trade. Oh, boy. Get your boots on.
Micah Parsons did an outstanding job for us for 4 years. And a little bit of the way Herschel Walker may have had his greatest contribution to the Cowboys, what he brought to us when he left could be a tremendous thing for our fans and the success of this team.
Oh, my God. So he's trying to get you jacked up for late first-round picks is really what it is. I mean, the... You know, Jerry Jones did say Dak's contract did impact the Micah decision. I want to hear Michael Irvin, though. You know, in one of my prior stops in radio, I got to talk to Michael Irvin every week. So I thought he would normally go soft on Jerry, but apparently he is not happy about the Micah trade.
I know he loved Michael Parsons. So in order for us to be right here, something had to go down that hurt Jerry personally to make this crazy, dumb move. The gambler and his Cowboys. It's the series that is out right now. This is a gamble the gambler should not have taken. My personal opinion. The last personal thing with Jerry, that was with him and Jimmy, that got in the way, I believe, of a Super Bowl that year. There's a good chance this personal thing, this time, with Micah and his agent, has a good opportunity to get in the way of a, I thought was a Super Bowl opportunity. Now you're going to need a pass rusher to get to the quarterback because they'll have to catch up. And you let Michael Parsons go. Or you traded Michael Parsons. God almighty. I am disappointed that Jerry and the Cowboys decided to trade Michael Parsons. I'm hot about that.
By the way, I don't think it's about... I think it's more about Jerry Jones trying to protect his want to circumvent agents. Like we heard earlier from Jerry Jones where he talked about, oh, an honor to be done with an agent. And then it's the whole, that's why I ship you out of town. Jerry Jones is like a guy who runs a radio cluster and thinks that, oh, this guy's so desperate, I'll just try to go to him and not his representation to get a deal done so that I can get the favorable terms that I want. It's like small-time thinking. From a business end, it's small, and that's where the ego gets in the way, where to Jerry. So Jerry Jones now, okay, who I think wants to die being known as a football guy. Forget the business. I'm a football guy. So now you did get help on the defensive line, and you sure as hell better hope you nail these two extra picks or you're able to do something special with them that will satiate Cowboy fans, because you didn't even trade the guy to the AFC. That is one of the things that I absolutely cannot believe Jerry Jones didn't do. That if, you know, little Steven and whatever other football do boys they have there that just say, go ahead, Jerry, do what you want. That this guy, he get the old hair across his ass and he ends up trading his best player. What does that say to the locker room? Hey, Brian Schottenheimer, good luck spinning this one. How do you keep your football team up when you trade away a guy like that and your owner is going to try to sell it to the football team that, hey, this defensive tackle that we got, oh, and these next two guys that are going to come in are going to be big booms for our defense, and we're going to get way better because we made this deal. Yeah, it hurts now, but we'll be good later on. I don't know. It does give Jerry the ability to move around the board, but it's already admitted by the owner that the contract to the quarterback definitely caused you to have to really think this through with Micah Parsons. And if Jerry, you know what, in all honesty, if Jerry just said, hey, it was too rich for my blood, that's why we moved him, We did what we could. He ends up getting his contract. We were never going to pay him that much. You never want to come out and say it. So you've paid other players, Jerry. You've paid other players more money. So it's not like you're afraid of the money. So then what is it? It's Jerry's massive ego. This guy believes he is the biggest star on the side of the helmet with the star of the Dallas Cowboys. And it's got to be a sickening feeling as a fan, because there is, other than voting with your feet and not showing up to games, there's absolutely nothing you can do about this. There's no appealing to an owner or the son of the owner or the wife of the owner. There's none of that. Jerry's going to do what Jerry's going to do, and it's his kingdom. And you all are just lucky enough that you chose to root for him and his Dallas Cowboys. So really now, Cowboy fans, you're rooting for Jerry Jones, because Jerry is the one who is front and center trying to say he really is the franchise. So go get your Jones jersey and get ready for what will be another completely disappointing season with the Dallas Cowboys. I locked them in at under 7.5 a while ago, and I locked them in to not make the playoffs. And I think I got them in minus 220 to not make the playoffs. I wonder what that – yeah, I didn't even look to see what the number is now. I don't know how valuable or extra valuable my ticket really is relative to the Cowboys and them not making the postseason. But, Jerry, thank you. I know you're going to make me some money at the end of the year. And there's just – to me, there's no way to justify this – in the egomaniacal mind of the owner, to him, this is the right thing to do. And the guy that, you know, I was kind of laughing at Cowboy fans early on, because I don't know if they deserve exactly sympathy from a lot of other fan bases. But I'll tell you this, and I want to get into this coming up. I wouldn't want to be Brian Schottenheimer. Boy, oh boy. What a first 4 weeks for that guy on the job. We'll get to some of that next. I'm Gresham for JR, 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. You can always get me on social media at The Real Gresh, G-R-E-S-H. That's on YouTube, that's on TikTok, that's on Instagram, that's on X or Twitter, whatever you call it. Hell, you can find me on LinkedIn if you're smart enough to look there. There you go. I'll get to Brian Schottenheimer. Welcome to being a head coach in the NFL next. In for JR, I'm Gresh on the Infinity Sports Network.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief. Here's Gresh.
In for JR tonight, heading into this Labor Day weekend, getting ready for the NFL season to start. This portion of the show brought to you by Wesley Financial. Stuck in a timeshare and want out? Contact Wesley Financial Group now. Get a free timeshare exit information kit at wesleyfinancialgroup.com. A guy that I really do have some true empathy for, and talk about somebody who, when they tell you, do you know what you're really getting into, when you put yourself in the position that Brian Schottenheimer has to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys with the egomaniac Jerry Jones above you. And, you know, Brian Schottenheimer, he just had to kind of stand up there and say, hey, you guys can say anything you want to me. Here's why we made the decision. Here's what went into it. He said those conversations were powerful, but that will also stay between me and them. And then he tried to sell the team on the whole, nothing's changed. The goals haven't changed. Our team goals haven't changed. Yeah, but it is, you know, that's a guy who's a team leader. Here's the thing. You can't BS your team. Nowadays, you know, in the 90s when I played in college football, it was still much more militant, you know, do what you're told. This is how things work. You know, you're just a scrub on the scout team. So, therefore, you didn't really matter. Nowadays with these kids, are you kidding me? Let me tell you, Pitt football coach Pat Narduzzi, okay? I played football at the University of Rhode Island from 1992 to 1995. And Narduzzi came in. I got recruited there by Bob Griffin. Then there was the 92 season. They went 1-11. Griff got fired. They brought in this guy, Floyd Keith. Ugh. And one of his assistants was Pat Narduzzi, who is now the head coach at Pitt. Okay? And when I see Pat Narduzzi, the guy who, when we would line up for offensive, defensive pass rush drills, would grab the hair that was hanging out of the back of my helmet and would tug on it and say, when are you going to get cleaned up? When are you going to look good? When are you going to get this, when are you going to get this haircut? Literally, they're setting up the drill. The defensive linemen are on one side. We're on the other. And as Narduzzi is like walking over there, he's pulling the hair that is coming out of the back of my helmet. And nowadays, I see him in the morning making sure to give players happy birthday wishes. It's a completely different group. It's completely different athletes now. And I feel bad for Brian Schottenheimer because, in truth, the only thing he can do is be capitulant and sell what his boss did. That's it. Unfortunately for him, that is a part of the job. You are going to capitulate to Jerry Jones. You are going to have to defend or back or try to sell your ideas. And in reality, this should be one of those times where with Brian Schottenheimer, you tell the players to let it fly. And everybody, this is where the trust maybe begins to build in that locker room for real. Can everybody say what they need to say within the confines of that locker room and it not getting back to the owner to then be vindictive towards someone else, like even though he says he wasn't, I believe he was towards Micah Parsons. And this is one of those deals where with Brian Schottenheimer, okay, you know, you're the one who got the job and you knew what came with it, but that doesn't mean I still don't feel bad for the guy. Because you talk about getting off on a, you know, just tripping out of the starting gate. And then someone from above decides to, you know, take your legs out by trading away your best defensive player. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Gresham for JR. Let's go to Terry, who's in Texas on the Cowboys. Terry, you're with Gresham for JR on the Infinity Sports Network.
How you doing, man? Full disclosure, I'm a Bills fan. I'm originally from Buffalo. So that being said, I still don't understand what the hell Cowboys fans are all worked up about. They weren't going to go to the Super Bowl with them anyway. I mean, not as long as Dak Prescott is the quarterback. Seen too many mistakes and too many flops in the playoffs and leading up to them where they just don't get it done, and he's the main reason for it. I personally called interceptions before he's thrown a pass, and I'm sure many others have done it as well. You almost come to expect it, and it's good enough to make like a pick on it, you know, on any gambling website that he's good for one in a high-stress situation. I just feel like Micah Parsons seems like a good dude. Obviously, don't know him as a person, but the things that I've watched of him and his podcast and things like that, seems like a good dude. I think it's better for him in the long run. He got paid. He's going to be on a team that has a chance and has a sound background of what they do leading up. You know what I mean? And they're only getting better, it feels like. Now add Micah Parsons to it, could be deadly in the NFC. You never know. That's pretty much all I got. But
all right, Terry, thank you. Here's what I would say. I think you brought up two things I want to address. Number one, just because the Cowboys may not have been going anywhere with Dak Prescott doesn't mean for Cowboy fans that this still doesn't sting. That is, you know, if that, I would say this in Dallas, if Dak Prescott or CeeDee Lamb isn't your favorite player, it's probably Micah Parsons. And I don't know what the jersey sales are, things like that, but I just know this, that if you're a fan, you love the winning, but you get attached to the player. I ultimately found that out when the end of the whole Brady run here in New England after covering that stem to stern. You love the wins, you love the group, but you're still attached to the player. And even though, and here's the thing, like you said, Terry, for those who wanted to believe, boy, when we get Micah, we've got stars, we still have a chance. For those that thought they had a chance, even though they were, you disagree with them on Dak Prescott, that's still a, I mean, it ruins your season. Seriously. It ruins your season. The Cowboys would have to play so far above their head to be able to save the season this year. Like, it's already sunk. It's already done. It's going to be a real hollow feeling, I think, for Cowboy fans watching the team this year. And then the, you know, and then the other part of it is Micah Parsons really better off? 1,000% yes. He is with an organization where you've now taken out the crazy owner factor. The only one that is publicly traded and owned, and they have a, you know, it was Mark Murphy. I forget who it's going to be now. That's basically the COO. And they do things in a classy way. They're on the whole. I know the business of football gets in the way and somebody, you know, gets curmudgeon-y along the way. I'm not saying that the Packers are perfect, but he's with an organization that is truly, I think, going to love him. And I really think for Micah Parsons, he's going to find a fan base that is going to help him get over all of this BS that has gone on the last 4 weeks. And I think it will motivate him to play really inspired football. I mean, the people of Wisconsin and the way those fans treat the megastars there, even though he was big in Dallas, I think he's going to be bigger in Green Bay. So on one, I think a little different perspective just on, okay, even though, you know, you didn't believe it, you're not a fan, but if you're a fan and you believed and that guy was coming back and then it was, oh, we just traded him for what, you know, for a good player, not at the level of Micah Parsons, and then two future chips is really all it is. So you have to find a way to convince yourself to get excited about that. I'm not even a Cowboys fan. I can't get excited about it. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Let's get updated on everything in the world of sports. Here is Pete McCarthy.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief. Here's Gresh.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You can get in on Jerry Jones anytime at 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. We'll connect with someone Dallas-related at 9 o'clock Eastern time. We'll do some college football next hour as full-blown week one has already begun. I was very disappointed that the Scarlet Knights of Rutgers decided to score points yesterday. Ruined a six-legger I had working. I was all over South Florida and the under. I was on Akron as well, but yeah, I did not think I didn't think that Ohio and Rutgers would score the way they would. I went on the under on that one and got burned pretty bad. So such is betting on football. But we still have some games to go and some massive week one games in college football to get to. 888-710-4ISN. Let's go to Jeff in Nebraska talking about having a three-star NFL team. Jeff, go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say that one thing that nobody ever talks about is the fact that there's a salary cap. And, I mean, if you added Parsons, you're at $150 million for three players on a 53-man roster, a 54-man roster. That means you got to spend $100, $110 million on the rest. I mean, I don't see how that's doable in the NFL. And that's where Cincinnati is right now. They've got three expensive players that's costing, about $130 million a year on a $160 million cap.
I think it's four players if you look at both wide receivers, Burrow and Hendrickson. I think those four, I believe, in 160. Jeff, thanks for the call. Well, here's what I would say. We knew 2 years ago that Micah Parsons was a pretty good player. And we know that when you have these guys that really shine early and are superstars, they want to get their money early because they can and they get the leverage. And it's smart, as we have learned, the earlier you get it done, the less you end up paying in the long run. But if balancing the budget to be able to pay Micah Parsons was a big deal for Jerry Jones, he had at least a two-year runway to be able to figure that out. Now, look, I am not one of those who will sit here and tell you that the salary cap is not real. What it is it's flexible, but you pay down the road. Ask the New Orleans Saints all the years under Sean Payton where they were chasing their tail from a cap standpoint, and then trading, you know, first-round picks to be able to jump up and grab players and try to, you know, find different ways to sort of plug holes on their roster the best they could. But it felt like under Payton, the Saints always had cap issues. And it ultimately hurt them in the end because they never caught up. But when you look at the Cowboys, you also have a quarterback under contract where if you need to get something done, you have the ability to move things around and create the space you need to because the quarterback has an enormous contract. The guy's overpaid. So that is normally look at the Kansas City Chiefs. They say Pat Mahomes has a $450 million contract, but if you really look at it, it's a series of one-year deals so they can continue to give him the big bonus up front to create the cap space they need to be able to keep a good team around the guy. So it can be done. It has been done. It is being done. This came down to the ego of the owner, who now will apply all of this logic and things that we have been talking about to try to defend trading away arguably the best defensive player in the NFL. If this were Trey Hendrickson, and he got traded for two first-round picks and a Pro Bowl defensive tackle, I would say, wow, that's a lot, but okay, that, you know, Green Bay's going for it. The fact that it is a player who is just now coming into really his prime in Micah Parsons, are you kidding me? This was one of the worst trades in the history of the National Football League. The salary cap should not be the thing that was really getting in the way. And you know what? And I normally don't. I normally don't go nuts on looking up things like this on the air, but I know SpotTrac does a really good job of breaking down contracts and things of that nature. I just want to see what the Dak. Now, I know Dak's got. So, Dak Prescott has a $50 million cap hit this year. Oh, yeah. So, part of at least the problem, now that I look, of going to the quarterback is that you already restructured a bunch of his money to the tune of $21.7 million. So Dak Prescott during the year is only making $2 million in salary. But when you go by signing bonus and restructure, the cap hit is $50 million. But it looks like the real money, at least this year, is about $23 million. And next year, Dak is supposed to make $40 million in salary, and that's where I'm sure there will be either a haircut, a restructure. But look, there could have been ways that they got it done with Micah Parsons this year and found a way to make the money work and then, you know, borrow from the $40 million salary of Dak Prescott in 2026. It's not as clean or as easy as I necessarily thought, but when the cap hit is $50 million, and it says the cash total is $47,750,000, there are ways to be able to make cap magic, and to me, that wasn't what kept this getting done. Is the ego of Jerry Jones and the fact that this guy is also the general manager. He truly is an NFL Godzilla in that there's no one to stop him. In his own organization, in his own domain, there is no one to stop him or talk sense into Jerry Jones or try to speak logic into Jerry Jones. And I'm glad the agent, David Mulaheta, I do believe it is, and he has the biggest agency in football, arguably. I really love it that I love it that the agent apparently got snippy with Jerry Jones, because that really is the truest version of dirty pool. And the NFL as a collective ownership group put into the collective bargaining agreement that these players are allowed and expected to have professional representation. And the fact that some of this all started because Jerry Jones got his nose out of, or Jerry Jones decided to go to the player and thought he would get one over on the agent and go directly to the player. Like, here's the, in all honesty, here's the thing, right? Am I supposed to believe that because they really hit the impasse, this happened? But am I also supposed to believe at the same time that if Micah Parsons said, yeah, Jerry, what we talked about is good, that this contract would be done and Micah Parsons would still be the highest paid non-quarterback in the NFL, as Jerry Jones had said? He thought he had a deal done going directly to the player. So, if he capitulated to King Jerry, then I'm to believe this would have gotten done and everything would be okay? Or, you know, or did Jerry Jones either get his feelers hurt, or did the agent tell him, pound sand, we don't want to do business with you? Because it feels like if Jerry Jones is going to even mention salary cap implications, and I know he mentioned the whole Dak contract was, you know, a factor in all of this, there's ways to work around that. There are ways to work around that. Even if it were a Trey Hendrickson patch to get you to a point where you have an agreement, but it really doesn't kick in until next year. And this year you just, you know, you do the Trey Hendrickson thing, but you know where this is going and everybody is operating in good faith. Or did Jerry get torqued off because the agent bowed up, Micah bowed up, and unlike Brian Schottenheimer, who's got to capitulate, Micah Parsons and his agent do not have to. And then Jerry got upset. But I'm also supposed to believe that Micah said, yeah, Jerry, even though it feels really unfair that you're negotiating without my agent, I'll take the deal you gave you offered. That would have gotten done. So then the cap issues would have poof gone away. Wouldn't have been a big deal because Jerry would have set precedent and being able to then say everybody else on the roster, well, I dealt directly with Micah, so I want to deal directly with you. I really do think the agent business is a pretty big factor in all of this with Jerry Jones because it was such a big contract. It's just really, really, really scummy stuff. Really scummy stuff. We have maybe the biggest week one in college football coming up. I'll preview that and get to that next with you. I'm Gresh in for JR here on the Infinity Sports Network.